Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 in the King James language of the Bible. I think you've got those. All right. Here's what the word says. Everybody, Father, just use me to bring out what it is that you want to say to your people tonight. Everyone said amen. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now, we're talking about people that are born again. We're talking about people that want that in their life. God won't give you anything you don't want. But if you consider yourself born again, boy, that little fella just looks cuter and cuter. I thought it was going to be a problem when you cut his hair off, but he looks even cuter with his hair off. Pawpaw. Isn't he beautiful? Isn't that a great little grandson? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. For ye were bought with a price. Everybody say this. I was bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. You know, you're born in this world the first time, and you're born, your life is your own. You can do what you want. He made you a free moral agent. He's looking for people that want to say yes to the blessing that he's offered. This cross right up here changed everything. In the old covenant, if you were a Jew, the best that you could be is a servant. But this cross made everybody that wants it born again. This cross made you kin to God. So much so that he says several places in the New Testament, I'm going to be your father, you're going to be my sons and daughters. Jesus, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. He said, all right. When you pray, say, Our Father. The most famous prayer in the New Testament, the New Covenant, Our Father, my Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that's what we learn that it takes to walk in the new covenant as a born-again believer of Jesus. It's no longer our will. He gives us and we surrender our will to his will. Our life becomes his life. Our breath becomes his breath. Our money becomes his money. Our words become his words. So on and so forth. And that's the change. That's the exchange if we want him. And he receives everybody that wants him. And all denominations are wonderful. This is an interdenominational church. All denominations are accepted here. We don't have a denomination to offer anybody. All we have to offer people is Genesis to the maps here. That's all we have. We're interdenominational. That means we love every denomination. And if you're going to be here, you should love every denomination. Does that mean making all this noise? Is it? I don't think so. Set the master up there. When I say Michael, the problems disappear. switch over? Yeah, you did. All right. That's wonderful. So I want to share a thought with you tonight that God is making you a new creation. And it's all according to what you want. If you want the born-again experience, if you want to be in heaven when you leave this life, that's up to you. And when mankind is redeemed, we become the temple of the Lord. Amen? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You know what that means? When you ask Christ into your life, your body becomes the dwelling place of the Lord. You become the temple of God. And that's always a good thing. I've been the temple since 1971. And please don't misunderstand me and think that I'm telling you that I've lived perfect, because I haven't. Ask my wife. She can tell you better than anybody else. But I'll tell you, I've tried harder since being born again. I'm really trying. I get an A for effort, don't I, sweetheart?
Yeah.
Oh. I paid her to say that. No, I'm just kidding. So look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9, also in the King James language. This is most important. And this is most important to God. For the Lord's portion is his people. Now, let me say something to you. In all that's in this earth, the most important thing to God in this earth is the redeemed of the Lord. Not everybody, the redeemed. There are some he's just going to say on Judgment Day. Now, I didn't say that. I'm just relaying a message to us. Depart from me. I never knew you. You never gave me that opportunity to know you. See, it's not going to be how many sins you did or did not commit. It's going to be whether or not you knew the Lord, because I've got news for you. You have a tempter, and you're living in a temporary situation. We don't know how long Satan's been in existence, but we know how long we've been in existence, just a small while. And God's not worried about the do's and the don'ts as much as he is, do you know him? Do you love him enough to try to find out who he is? You know that God has over 7,500 promises for you in the Word of God, and plus the ones to the promises to the planet. There's 8,600 altogether, and he loves you, and he loves his redeemed people. The work of his son, Jesus, is important. This couldn't happen in the Old Testament. And make no mistake about this. That cross behind me has made us kin. It hasn't just made us saved. To be saved means that in this generation, and this right now, and this dispensation, it means that we are kin to the living God. And that's a beautiful thing. He did that. So when we think of this fact, here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Father, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus knew that he was going to have to become the sins of the world. But before he could get through praying, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that's the key to a successful walk in Christ, is not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And I'll just have to be honest with you. His commandments are not grievous. Anything he's wanted me to do, I've been more than happy to do it. Nobody's held a gun to my head and made me be in this since 1971. I believe that's, how many years is that? 52 years? Yeah. Nobody made me do that. I wanted to do that. I want to do that every day. I'm so happy that I'm not who I used to be. I'm so happy that the destroyer, the murderer, Satan, cannot just do with me what he wants to anymore. He has to go through the name. He has to go through the blood. He has to go through God's plan, the work of Jesus, to get to me. And to be honest with you, I have to kind of let him. And I'm learning not to let him. And I'm preaching a message that if you'll let him, you're becoming a new creation. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Where you get your needs met abundantly. Where you get to fellowship with the living God. Please put up 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 in the New Living Translation. Where the word says this. That is the wrong translation, please. Give me the NLT, please. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest through the mediation of Jesus Christ. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, a chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Ask yourself, are you trusting? I don't need a show of hands. Are you trusting in the Lord tonight? I'm not asking what you did today. I'm not asking you the last time you sinned. I'm not asking you the next time you think you might sin. I'm asking if you're putting your trust in Jesus. Because, see, that's what it takes. How are you going to change? Put your trust in Jesus. How are you going to grow? Put your trust in Jesus. How are you going to get from day to tomorrow? Put your trust in Jesus. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. This is who the people of God are. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity, see, that was the problem. We had an identity crisis. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. And please hear me. Don't look down on any other church or any other faith, because there's saved people in every church. There's saved people in every denomination. All you got to do is be born again and love God. How many of you in here, you love the Lord? I'm not asking if you're perfect. I'm just asking if you love God. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Now let's look at, did I get 1 Peter yet? Was that 1 Peter? Yeah, that was 1 Peter. Good. Good. I'm not as whacked out as I think I thought I was. Let me have Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And if you're in a hurry, you're going to get your wish. We're almost done with this message. How many got a favorite program you got to do something with here in just a little bit? Not me. I ain't going to. Well, as soon as Married at First Sight comes back on, me and Millie will have it. And we record it every Wednesday night. Matthew 4:18 through 22 in the King James translation. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, I'm going to make a point here, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Jesus. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left that and came with the Lord. They immediately left their ship and their father, and they followed Jesus. Now, what God wants us to do and understand, you know, my mother was offended when I got born again, and I'll tell you how she was offended. Man, she baptized me twice. She had me baptized twice. But you know, in my case, it didn't mean nothing to me because I wasn't born again. But after I had trashed my life at a very young age, I asked the Lord to come into my life. I made him the Lord of my life. I asked him to forgive me and to work with me. I asked him to come into my heart. And he came in. And at Calvary Community Church on the east side of San Jose, California, in 1971, I was baptized again. Why? Because it didn't mean anything before. I've had people tell me that this year, as we baptized some, they said, well, I'm getting baptized again because the first, it didn't mean anything to me. And that's what happened to me. It didn't mean anything to me. So I was baptized again, and I told my mother, and she said, why would you do that? She said, I'd done already had you baptized. I said, well, Mom, it didn't mean anything to me. And I tried to explain that to her. And I don't know that she ever quite got it, but she got over it. And she still loved me, bless her heart. When she didn't remember who anybody else was, she came to, Millie and I went to Wisconsin, and she kept saying, who is that with you? I said, well, that's Millie. She said, Millie who? I said, that's Millie, my wife, Mom. I said, oh. And then she talked a few minutes and asked me again, who is that? Now, I've had experience, you know, what dementia is all about. I understand it. I get it. And she asked me many times that day. But I'm going to tell you something. Years after that, I was by myself up there. And I went to see her. And she looked up at me and she said, oh, Angie. My firstborn son, she knew who I was even then. That almost melted me. I almost said, Mom, you're going to make me cry. Stop, please. But she remembered me. But my mother was offended. And you know what? If you're really born again and living a born-again life, you are going to offend people in one way or another. I would just get used to it. I would just let go and relax and let God. And I'm going to ask you tonight, once again, I don't really want your hands raised up at this particular time. I hope you know God. Do you know God? Do you know him? I'm not asking you if you've done everything right today. I'm asking you if you love God and if you know God. what I'm asking you. Now, what you do with all of this is found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, second to the last Bible verses that I'm going to speak tonight. And I've got this habit, McFarland's. I don't just drag it on till I mean that's just not done. That's over. Is anybody mad about that? Good. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what God wants from you. He wants you to present yourself, no matter what denomination you are. That's how come we have one of the most exciting meetings every Thursday night. It'll be here next Thursday night, this tomorrow night, and it's only a one-hour service. And people come from all faiths, and they're excited. It's an interdenominational meeting because we don't make it about our personal creed, because the only creed we've got is this Bible. That's all the creed we have. Many of you in here, you don't even know what the word creed means, and I'm glad that you don't. You don't need to know what a creed means. You just need to know that God loves you because you love him. And it's a terrible thing. Yeah, we do sin. We're not proud of it, but we do. That's why the word makes concessions. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, the letter, 1 John was written not to lost people. It was written to the church. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and has a legal right to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from our sins. And what happens when you just yield to the Lord and you just love him and let him love you? Somehow he gets in there, and all of a sudden, you're not even thinking about it, but you're getting delivered of that, whatever it was, Mark. Just get delivered of it. Because you love him. Not because you feel constrained or under pressure, because you just love him. Like the song that I wrote, "Will You Let Me Reign in Your Heart of Hearts? Will you let me reign? Will you let me reign? Will you let me reign in your heart of hearts and love through you?" See, because if we do what God wants, what will happen to us is we'll start loving people with the love of God through us. And we can do a lot better doing that than anything else. So, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, there's a transformation, a change that has to happen to you. And that happens with this here. I'm raising some pups. They're 5 weeks old now. They're 5 weeks old yesterday. And they're just naturally hungry for milk. Naturally. It would be unnatural if they wouldn't be. And Peter said this, as newborn babes earnestly desire the first milk, the sincere milk of the word, everybody say the word, that you might grow. That's how people grow. They grow as they feed themselves the word of God. And the word of God is living and active. I had a experience many years ago before I had any children. It was just Millie and I. And I was taken to a place where the word was. And it was all around me. And it was breathing. And I was right inside of it. And after that experience, I was able to recall verses better than ever before. But I'm going to hurry up and get the end of this here, because me and Millie got to go a little farther than everybody else. And we got some programs we want to see. So, last place tonight is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anybody's in Christ, they are a new creation. Now, let me get this in the proper. Old things are beginning to pass away. Behold, all things are beginning to be new. That's the literal translation of that verse. It's a process. It's a process as we participate. It's a participating process. If you participate with God, Kelly got saved when she was 7 years old. She immediately had questions about the Bible, and she began to quote Bible verses and fell in love with Jesus. It was an amazing thing. I'll never forget that morning. Went in the front room. There she was. Our big old couch. She had made an altar out of it. She was kneeled down there. And I said, "Sweetie, what are you praying about?" She said, "I'm about my sins." I knew something was happening. I knew something was happening. It did. She didn't get this exciting by accident. She had help from the Lord God. From the moment that you say yes to Christ, there might be somebody that needs to say yes in here. I don't know. If there is, stand up. I'm not going to beg you. I could serve, lead you to Christ. Everybody in here might have already asked Christ to come in their life. But if anyone is in Christ, they are becoming, from that moment on, a new creation. When Christ comes in, I'll never forget, honest to God, I thought I was tripping. I thought I was having a flashback from LSD when I got saved. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I was 19 years old. I had been prone to dropping acid, doing other things. And everything was so, it was like everything was clean. Everything looked so bright and clean. And I began to realize, this is my new life that I asked for. Let me say something to you today. Even if you're born again, from this moment on, God would like to give you a new life again. Every day. He loves you. He doesn't have anything persecuting to say to you. He just absolutely loves you. And if anybody is in Christ, they are constantly becoming a new creation. Old things are constantly passing away. The old things, those things, they can't stay on you anymore because you love the Lord. And all things are becoming brand new. You're becoming a new creation, which is the title of my message tonight. And as we take communion right now, everybody here that I know, is anybody that doesn't know what this is about? I think I've told everybody 1,000 times. Fellas, pass these out to everybody.